Welcome to the City of Refuge podcast, where our mission is to equip a diverse community of Christ followers to make him known.
All right. Well, good morning, church. My name's Lee. I'm the facility guy here. And this morning, we're going to be continuing on in our series in Philippians, which Brandon started last week. And so if you want to go ahead and start flipping your Bibles there, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to be verses 18 through 30. And as you're flipping there, just to kind of recap the scene that Brandon set for us last week, this is Paul writing this letter to the church in Philippi. He's writing this letter while he's in prison. And he is writing this letter to Philippi because they sent one of their members over, Epaphroditus, with a gift to support Paul while he's in prison and kind of supply some of his needs. And then he's sending this letter back with that church member to encourage them and kind of thank them for their gift and also just encourage them to stay strong in the faith in the midst of their own trials and persecutions in Philippi. And so to begin, we're just going to read through the whole thing, and then we'll go back a second time through a little bit slower. And so starting in verse 18, so Philippians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "What does it matter? Just that in every way, whether out of false motives or true, Christ is proclaimed. And in this I rejoice, yes, and I will rejoice, because I know this will lead to my deliverance through your prayers and help from the Spirit of Jesus Christ. My eager expectation and hope is that I will not be ashamed about anything, but that now, as always, with all boldness, Christ will be highly honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For me, living is Christ, and dying is gain. Now, if I live on in the flesh, this means fruitful work for me, and I don't know which one I should choose. I'm pressured by both. I have the desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I'm persuaded of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that because of me, your confidence may grow in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Just one thing, live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I will hear about you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, working side by side for the faith that comes from the gospel. Not being frightened in any way by your opponents. This is a sign of destruction for them, but of your deliverance. And this is from God. For it has been given to you on Christ's behalf not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, having the same struggle that you saw I had and now hear that I have." And so as we go back through this passage, I want us to try to see our 2020 COVID circumstances a little bit like Paul. And so there's a lot of ways that our circumstances aren't as bad as Paul's. We're not being actively persecuted for our faith. We're not in prison. We're not any of those kind of things. But there are a few similarities that I want us to consider as we look at Paul's attitude and actions during his circumstances. First is that Paul is isolated from his community. In the same way that we, so far this year, have often felt isolated from our community, we're stuck doing YouTube church and Zoom prayer meetings and distance small groups and all those kind of things. We have this sense of being isolated and separated from our community, just like Paul does in this circumstance. And we also see that Paul is concerned for his life. He doesn't know what the future is going to hold. He doesn't know, is he going to live? Is he going to die in this imprisonment? And for a lot of us, we have that same fear. Or we're in the midst of a scary pandemic. Are we going to survive? Are our family members going to survive? We have that same thing in the same as Paul in his circumstance. And just like Paul, he's trying to encourage and strengthen the body of Christ from afar. From his prison cell, he's writing letters to the churches, he's meeting with people, he's doing whatever he can with his circumstance. And so in the same way, that's what we're doing. You know, we're here watching YouTube for church, we're doing those prayer meetings and those small groups, doing our best to, even in our isolation, build up the body and carry out the mission that God's given us here in Houston. And so as we read back through this, I want us to think about that. Think about what Paul's attitude and his actions are in the midst of those circumstances and see that similarity and let that be an encouragement for how we should adjust our attitudes and our actions. And specifically, I want us to look at the joy that Paul has and the contentment that he has in Jesus. So starting again in verse 18, it says, "What does it matter? Just that in every way, whether out of false motives or true, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice, because I know this will lead to my deliverance through your prayers and help from the Spirit of Jesus Christ. My eager expectation and hope is that I will not be ashamed about anything, but that now, as always, with all boldness, Christ will be highly honored in my body, whether by life or by death." So again, Paul doesn't know, is he going to live? Is he going to die? Is he going to be set free? Is he going to be stuck in prison? He has this uncertainty. And the temptation for those feeling that kind of uncertainty, maybe for some of us, is to respond with anxiety or fear or depression or any of those kind of negative emotions. But how do we see Paul respond instead? We see him, instead of fear, he has a determination, this drive to not be ashamed of his actions, to not be ashamed of anything. And so if he's going to die, he's determined to proclaim Jesus in his death. And if he lives, he's determined to proclaim Jesus in his life. And so I would encourage us to have that same spirit, to recognize, just like Paul recognized, that he's not in full control of his circumstances. We can't control, in a lot of ways, if we get sick. We can't control if we live or die. We can't control if we're going to lose a job this year or any of our outside circumstances, but we can control our actions and our attitudes in the midst of our circumstances. And so just in the same way that Paul sees these circumstances and is determined to continue on that mission that Jesus gave him, I would pray that that would be our response to our circumstances as well. That in COVID world 2020, we're also determined to spread the gospel, to make disciples, to serve the poor, to destroy injustices we see, that we would make sure our actions leave us with nothing to be ashamed about. Continuing in verse 21, he says, "For me, living is Christ and dying is gain. Now, if I live on in the flesh, this means fruitful work for me, and I don't know which one I should choose. I'm pressured by both. I have the desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you." So what Paul realizes in his circumstances is that he's in a win-win situation. If he is put to death in prison, then he's with Jesus. Yay. That's a win. And if he isn't killed, if he lives, if he's set free, then he can go start more churches. He can go make more disciples. He can go encourage the church around the region where he's working. And that's also a win. And so that's another encouragement for us. I want us to look at our circumstances and see that our options are a win-win. As long as we have life in us, as long as we have strength, let us work for the sake of the gospel, for the spreading of his kingdom here on earth. But let us not be afraid of when that time runs out, because that's also a win. And that's a win specifically for Paul and hopefully for us, because what Paul wants more than anything is Jesus. And so that would be a question I want us to reflect on this morning. When we ask ourselves, what do we want more than anything in the world? Is that Jesus or is that something else? And maybe for you today, that's a hard thing to say, yes, that's how I'm feeling. Often for me, it's the same way. We get so distracted by things in life. Right now, I'm in school, and so it's hard for me to not put school as this thing I want more than anything in the world to be over. And so... whenever I am feeling that way, it's important that I try to refocus my life and get that motivation that Paul has to put Jesus as the center thing in his life. And the two ways that help me the most to do that, and maybe they'll be helpful to some of you who are struggling with that same thought, is one, to go and actively be on mission with God. whatever that looks like. I usually just pray and ask the Holy Spirit, God, where would you lead me? I need to actively be working with you and feeling your presence. And so whether that's serving the poor, sharing the gospel with that friend you've been putting off, taking action against injustices around our country and around our city, whatever that looks like, I would encourage you to go and actively work with the Holy Spirit in action on mission with God. And whenever I do that, I always want more of it. I want more and more and more. And it's just this thing that keeps giving me a drive to want him more and more. And the second thing is I would encourage you to strip away any foundations or barriers that you've built under your own power between you and God or apart from God. What that's looked like in my life, there's a specific year that I always think back to in college, and it's the year that I first felt this contentment that Paul has and this joy in Christ that Paul has. And at the beginning of the year, everything kind of looked good from the outside. I was making all A's in school. I had a long-term girlfriend at the time. I had a great job. I had a nice apartment. I was, you know, a leader in InterVarsity, doing all the things. On the outside, it looked great. But on the inside, Jesus wasn't the thing I wanted more than anything else. What I wanted more than anything else was to have this appearance of like this guy that had it all together, this Christian leader, this good boyfriend, this smart student, this whatever else. I was really wanted that image. And over the course of the year, God kind of systematically destroyed all of those things that I defined myself as apart from him. Broke up with the girlfriend, started failing all my classes, lost my job, lost my apartment because I lost my job. And then I ended up just kind of staying with friends and not really knowing what my life was going to be. All of those things that I defined myself as didn't exist anymore, and all that existed was Jesus at the bottom. And I remember there was this moment that I was just sitting in the grass, kind of wrestling with God, just saying, this year has been really rough, God, and I don't understand it. And I just remember him saying, you know, like, Lee, I'm stripping away all these foundations and barriers that you've built, trying to build yourself up and build this image. And I want you to see that at the bottom, I'm the foundation that you can build your life on. I'm the thing that's not going away. And in that moment, I realized that even though all these things I'd been striving for, I had lost, I was happier than I had been in years. Even without outwardly looking like I had it all together, I had Jesus, and I recognized that he wasn't going anywhere, and I had that joy and that contentment that's all I really needed. And so in times now, I look back to that, and I remember that whenever I'm starting to fall into that same temptation. And so that would be my encouragement to those that would struggle with that with feeling how Paul feels, to actively go on mission with God and to work to strip away those foundations that you've built for yourself. And then continuing on in verse 25, Paul says, since I am persuaded of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that because of me, your confidence may grow in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Just one thing, live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or I am absent, I will hear about you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, working side by side for the faith that comes from the gospel. So we see Paul encouraging them to stand firm in the midst of their own struggles over in Philippi. And I think this highlights how important we are to one another. We are vitally connected as the body of Christ. I need all of you. You all need me. We're this organism that needs all of its parts. And so just like Paul, let's, in the midst of our tough circumstances, even though we're feeling isolated, let's work to maintain that connection. I think it's really important to us in the midst of COVID and being separated and doing everything virtually that we really work to stay connected as the body of Christ. I know personally I've felt very isolated this year. There's a lot of people I just feel like I haven't seen or talked to in, you know, all year, really. And I haven't made a whole lot of effort to keep those relationships going. And I was really challenged by that when I was reading this verse this week, that, yeah, it's harder. It's harder this year, but it's also more important this year to stay connected to community. And so whether that means making some time out to make some phone calls to your small group members or being active in the chat on Sunday, whatever that looks like, just really make an effort. In the same way that Paul is encouraging the people in Philippi to stand strong in their faith, I need people to encourage me to stand strong in my faith during COVID. And I'm sure many of y'all do too. And so, yeah, so even though we're isolated, we can still encourage each other's faith. We can still share ideas and stories about how we're working to advance the gospel. We can rejoice and we can mourn with each other, and we can pray together for the global church as the whole world is dealing with this right now. Continuing in verse 28, Paul says, "Not being frightened in any way by your opponents. This is a sign of destruction for them, but of your deliverance. And this is from God. For it has been given to you on Christ's behalf not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, having the same struggle that you saw I had and now hear that I have." So we see Paul encouraging them in the light of Jesus not to be afraid in the midst of their own suffering and persecution. He's, you know, in his own suffering, he's stuck in prison, but the church in Philippi is also getting a lot of pressure from the non-Christians there. They're experiencing their own persecutions and sufferings. And through those circumstances, Paul's encouraging them. And he's encouraging them to remember that Jesus also suffered, that Jesus is present in their suffering, and that ultimately they'll be delivered. Ultimately, the same as Paul has this assurance that either by life or death, Jesus is going to be made magnified, that in that same way that they need to stand strong in their faith. And so in our COVID world, let us remain faithful to that gospel purpose as well. Let us, despite what our fears might be, despite any anxieties we might have, let us stand strong to this mission that God has given us. Just because we can't, mission is on hold and we're not called to go and make disciples. Just because we can't meet in person doesn't mean we're not called to still be the body together. And so let us, in the midst of our circumstances, in whatever small sufferings we're experiencing, let us remember to stand firm in our faith and that Jesus at the end is our deliverance. Let us be content, just as Paul is content, regardless of these circumstances, and let us find ways to lean on one another and gain courage from each other in spite of our separation. So this would be my prayer for us as a church, that we would have joy and contentment in Jesus, that just as Paul said that we, at the end of this year, no matter what the future holds, would be able to say, "I am not ashamed of anything." That we would remain tied to Christ and we would live a life worthy of the gospel of Christ. That's my prayer for us this morning, church. As I close, I just want to pray for us and encourage us in this, that the same spirit and motivation that Paul has to put Jesus before everything and just focus on him, that's what he wants more than anything in the world, that's what we would want more than anything in the world, is Jesus, no matter what that looks like, no matter what fears we're facing, no matter what circumstances we're in. It might get better next year, it might get worse next year, we don't know. But we do know that we'll have Jesus as our foundation no matter what. So let me pray for us. Sovereign Lord, we know the future is ultimately in your hands. We know that we do not control our circumstances. We know that we're tempted to experience a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, a lot of depression this year. And we do just recognize that there's a lot of uncertainty moving forward in our world and in our church. And so, God, I just pray that you, that your Spirit would come into us, that your Spirit would be tangibly present in our hearts, and that as you mold our hearts and you call us to yourself, that we would remember that you are the center focus of our life. You have called us to go into this place that you have put us. Right now it's Houston for us. And you've called us to proclaim your gospel here in Houston. You've called us to be your hands and feet, serving the poor, working against injustice, working for the good of the city here in Houston. And so, God, in the midst of everything feeling like it's on pause and uncertain, that we wouldn't forget who we're called to be here. And God, I pray that our motivation would be you, would be a desire to be with you. Just like Paul says, being with you would be far better. That's the choice he would selfishly want. And God, I pray that we would have that same heart, that your Spirit would build in us this desire to have you above all other things, above safety in this world, above wealth, above status, above an outward appearance of having everything together, that we would want you, and we would actively work to be with you. And God, we thank you that, yeah, that you are a God who is also pursuing us. We thank you that you're a God who wants to be with us and wants to work alongside of us and calls us children and calls us back to yourself. And so, God, as we stray away, as we forget our purpose here, God, would you continually call us back to yourself and continually just correct our steps and remind us of the love you have for us. Remind us of the satisfaction we can have in you. Remind us that the things of this world are not ultimately satisfying, that we can chase them and we can chase them, and we'll be unhappy in the end without you. And God, we just ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.